the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
Well, thanks for checking in. It's the radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, Dr. Michael Roizen, the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. I'm Joe Galewski. Bridget's here today to reach us on the email, udocs@gmail.com, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S @gmail.com. If you have a phone, you want to use it, use it. 877-711-5211. We're on iHeartRadio Talk. It's a great way to find out what's going on in the world of health today, customized for your interests. You can add Radio MD and you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, to the Daily Pulse. Go to iHeartRadio.com. Download the app. Use it on the web. If you go to the web, click Talk in the main menu, and it's not difficult to find. Search for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And again, thank you for listening. Dr. Gary Ginsberg at 20 after the hour. What's toxic and what's not? State of California is going after three consumer products as unsafe. Pot is taking a toll on our national parks, environmental toll. And Dr. Ginsberg, Gary, will talk about the planet's most popular herbicide and whether or not it's causing heart disease. Dr. Mike, what do you like there among the three? I normally let you set the agenda for Dr. Ginsberg and pick your most interesting topic of the day. What do you think you like most among those three?
Well, you can't ignore pot and its effect on our national parks, your national park, Joe, but all of our national parks. And so I want to hear what he says about the national parks and marijuana, whether that's because we're smoking it in the national parks or whether it's being grown in the national parks or something else happening. And, of course, the second topic is you've got to say, what is that pesticide and why is it so common and what is it doing to our kidneys and why? So those are two great ones. And then you got to say, what is California doing with green chemistry and why is it involved in green chemistry screening? And even what the heck is he talking about there? So we're going to get to all three, I hope.
I agree.
And then, by the way, at 6:30, we have a special. Dr. Deb is coming back by phone, unfortunately, not in the studio. But Dr. Deb is coming back and has a special 30 minutes with me and Bridget. We're kicking you out, Joe.
Okay, well.
Although you've entertained
her,
us a lot.
That's I love Dr. Deb Lonser, and she spent, time with us on this show and left us for a while, and I will gladly give my seat up so you can chat with her for the remainder of the show, beginning at 35 minutes after the hour. So that'll be good. Let's talk about some of the other top medical stories of the week. And a possible bacterial imbalance, right, may play a role in Crohn's disease. What can you talk to us about that?
Well, this story is about the difference between good bacteria and bad bacteria and what people have in their gut. That is, we now know that a lot about intestinal microbiome. That is, what is in your gut, what bacteria are in your gut is important. So this was saying that antibiotics often worsen this, so maybe the antibiotics are killing bacteria that are helping you. And so they looked at 447 people diagnosed with Crohn's disease, compared them with a bunch of people who weren't diagnosed with Crohn's disease, and the researchers found that the people with Crohn's disease had more bacteria that were associated with inflammation, since bacteria are known to be pro-inflammatory or anti-inflammatory, and fewer bacteria known to be anti-inflammatory than people. And the use of antibiotics, in fact, worsened this imbalance between the anti-inflammatory good bacteria and the bad pro-inflammatory bacteria. So that's that story about bacterial imbalance. I think that we're going to see, Joe, a lot about people taking bacteria that are good for you in capsules, and that is this probiotic movement, I think, will even get bigger than that, as it will be able to populate our bacteria, our guts, with bacteria that will help us lose weight, that will help us be much healthier, maybe even help us exercise more, but certainly decrease mental disease, decrease heart disease, and even decrease type 2 diabetes and obesity.
I agree with that.
No, sounds promising. That sounds very, very promising. What is the love hormone? What's the love hormone? What's the love hormone that may help anorexics, Dr. Mike?
Well, the love hormone is, in fact, oxytocin. Why is it called the love hormone? Because it causes you to cuddle. So you cuddle. And this was 91 patients with anorexia and 33 healthy controls who were randomly given oxytocin or a placebo. And the participants were asked before and after taking the drug to look at images relating to weight, high and low calorie foods, and fat and body shapes. As the images flashed up, the researchers measured how quickly participants identified them. If they had a tendency to focus on negative images, they would identify them more rapidly. The results, after taking oxytocin, anorexic patients reduced their focuses on images of food and fat bodies, and they actually did have, were likely to focus on things that were healthy. So oxytocin, when given, seems to have a beneficial effect in helping anorexics fight food fixations.
Oh my gosh.
Let me see if we can throw one Bridget's way here, because I think this is something she may be able to handle today.
She's focusing on the deer outside our window.
Yeah, there's four really cute deer outside the window right now.
Oh, he's got a great view in his office with deer and on the campus at the Cleveland Clinic.
And the Wellness Institute campus is amazing. So they're just all like grazing in the grass.
Yeah,
like cows.
It's a beautiful sight. All right. So, how about teenage girls and obesity? Bridget, concentrate now. Focus.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'll take that. Actually, this is an this is an interesting story, because it is that the teenage girls who were more obese did worse academically, and those that got thinner did better academically. It's a consistent, clear pattern that the thinner you are, and the more progressively you stay thin, not anorectic, not so thin as you were model thin, but stayed moderate in your waist-to-height ratio, the better your academic performance got and stayed. Now, it isn't known whether this was on objective tests as well as on your teacher's grading of performance, Joe.
Well, what is the reason for that? Thinner girls do better, or more
heavier it's girls fat. Don't fat do, is bad for your brain, Joe. Saturated fat is bad for your brain. So we don't know whether it is the lack of energy or the energy sapping that obesity causes, or whether it is they're able to focus more because they're eating healthier food, or what it is, but that's maybe, it is a consistent finding.
Usually people that are healthier weight have general healthier habits, like exercising, staying active, and then, like Dr. Roizen said, eating well. So it's really the main indicator is that they have healthy behaviors and not necessarily unhealthy behaviors that are causing them to be at a healthy weight, like calorie restriction.
All right, Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Dr. Gary Ginsberg is next. We call it What's Toxic and What's Not. California targeting consumer products is unsafe. Do you have some of these in your home? And pot is taking its toll on our national parks, which is a very interesting topic Dr. G will talk about. And he is coming up next on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
You still rely on sugar or caffeine for energy? B12 is known as the energy vitamin. It nourishes your body, supporting mental function and vitality. Problem is, B12 is hard to absorb. Did you know a recent study showed almost 4 out of 10 people had B12 levels in the low normal to deficiency range? This applied to both young and old, even those with adequate meat intake. So it isn't just vegans or older folks who need to be concerned. Until now, the alternative was getting a shot at the doctor's office. What if we had a B12 offer that was simple? Liposomes deliver B12 painlessly. No doctor visit. Why not discover what B12 can offer you? Drink the new liposomal form. Right now, you can get a bottle for 50% off at B12offer.com. This limited time B12 offer is unique and it's easy. Just go to B12offer.com for 50% off. That's B12offer.com.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Hey, brought to you by YouBeauty.com and Morning and Night Multivitamins. It's What's Toxic and What's Not with Dr. Gary Ginsberg. His website, whatstoxic.com. And every week, let Dr. Mike pick the topic from Dr. G that he thinks is the most interesting. They're all wonderful, but there's one above all the others. And what would you like to start with Gary today, Dr. Mike?
Pot and the parks. Pot and parks.
Okay, hi guys. This is a story that I've been following for a number of years. And it's increasing in importance now that marijuana is becoming more broadly legalized. And so there's much more medical marijuana being grown. It turns out, you know, I wouldn't have guessed this, but marijuana is a pretty resource-intensive plant to grow. And so it requires a lot of water, 15 gallons of water a day per pot plant, and a lot of fertilizer and a fair bit of pesticide. And so the conundrum that EPA has as they try to regulate the situation of these plants on pot farms is that pot is illegal to grow on the federal level. So federal EPA can't tell local pot farmers that they can't let their pesticides or their fertilizer run off into local waterways because technically it's not even supposed to be there or legal. The state authorities don't regulate it. And it's sort of pot farms are falling in this interesting regulatory crack of being illegal at the federal level and in some states being legal to grow. So that's one aspect. And then on top of that, there's all the illegal marijuana that's still being grown by various drug interests. And where are they growing it? In the national parks, in remote regions that nobody goes back in there. Hikers don't even get back in there. They get in there, set up camp, and get this, about a million, I'm talking about 6 zeros here, a million pot plants a year are confiscated and destroyed by federal authorities in national parks, and that's just a fraction of what's being grown in these parks. So that destroys the nature of the park. Again, it's resource-intensive growth, so you've got a semi-industrial operation, even if agricultural operation going on in national parks that are undercover. And so the whole growing of marijuana issue is becoming an environmental, major environmental issue. It's not being regulated, and it's being hidden in places that it shouldn't be, in our precious national parks. And Mike and Joe, what should you do if you are hiking in a national park in some remote place and you come across a field of pot growing? What should you do?
You don't mean harvest it and send it to Colorado for medical marijuana?
I'm saying you want to run. Because you do not want to be seen where there's illegal interest, but you don't want to be the one who knows about it. Because there have been cases of people not making it out of the forest because they knew something they shouldn't. They stumbled across something they shouldn't have known about. These guys are armed, and you know this is like military operations out there. So you want to get out of the forest, get to your car, get the heck out of there, and then make a phone call to the Forestry Service of what you saw.
That is really the most interesting story this week. As I said, they're all great, as they are every week, but that is that's tremendous. Okay, number two, the planet's most popular herbicide, Dr. Ginsberg, and what is it, and what problems are they causing?
A lot of people, I'm sure, in our listening audience, have used Roundup. They may not know they've used Roundup. It may be in a bag of a lawn treatment that's got fertilizer in it, and it's got some extra stuff in it to make sure that the weeds don't come up. That's usually Roundup, or glyphosate is the technical chemical name for it. And that chemical is the number one herbicide product globally. And it suddenly has been fingered. Now, it's not proven, but fingered to the point where the government of Sri Lanka, which is on the Indian subcontinent, has banned it. And that's because there is a spreading kidney disease among agricultural workers in these hot climates like Central America, in India, and in Sri Lanka. There's a renal disease, a kidney disease that's been lethal and killing these agricultural workers, and it seems to be environmental in nature, either what they're spraying or something else related to their environment. So here's the theory, and here's why Sri Lanka has banned something that a lot of people have probably used right in their own backyard. And what they think is going on there, it's a combination of dehydration. These workers are out there in the hot sun spraying pesticide. Number two is that there is some source of heavy metals either in their diet or drinking water. They're not spraying it. You're not spraying heavy metals anymore. I don't even think in these third world countries to kill off plants. We used to use arsenic that way in the old days, but probably not from what they're spraying, but it could be in their diet or their drinking water. So heavy metals plus dehydration plus glyphosate, because glyphosate or Roundup, what does it do? It's a metal chelator. One of the things it does, it chelates metals, and as Mike and Joe, as you probably know, things that chelate metals are good for tying them up, but they deliver them to the kidney, and the kidney can free them back up off the Roundup molecule and perhaps target the kidney. Glyphosate may be targeting the kidney by distributing the metal to the kidney. So that's a theory. It's not been proven. Santa the Maker says there's no evidence of that, but it's enough of a suspicion that a government has said, nope, we're trying to stop this kidney disease epidemic that's in these third world agricultural workers. And they said no more. El Salvador, another country, has been trying to ban it, but that proposal hasn't gone through. So very interesting. That it's probably a scenario that your backyard, lawn and turf treatment is not going to lead to a problem. People in this country from handling Roundup. But in the third world, it looks like there's a suspicion, at least, of Roundup being related to kidney disease. More to come on that, I'm sure.
Okay. 90 seconds, Gary, to talk about consumer products, three of them, that California is going after, considering them unsafe. What are they?
Yeah, well, we could spend the whole 10 minutes on this story, but basically, because the federal TSCA regulations on chemicals in consumer products really does not do much, or hasn't done a lot so far to protect consumer products. States like California have their own watch list, and California has just identified three products. Spray foam insulation, because it contains isocyanate, so if you are looking to insulate the walls of your house, at least in California, and probably everywhere, you want to watch out for the spray foam products. There are suspicions about the isocyanates getting out of the walls and create, at least at the beginning when the products are fresh, and causing some contamination in the indoor air. The second is foam products related to babies and where they sleep because of the flame retardants that are in the foam. So, for example, mattress pads, bumper pads and cribs, car beds for baby, a lot of times they are the foam type. They have a lot of flame retardants that can volatilize off. California is saying no to that. They're saying you better reformulate it or we're going to ban those. The advice to parents right now is using other kinds of fill. Look for hollow fill. Look for whirl. And the third one, maybe I could talk about the next time if we're out of time.
Okay. Right, just tell us what it is, I guess.
Okay, and the third one is methylene chloride-based paint stripper. So if you've got a paint stripping project around the house, make sure you're not using methylene chloride. It's a carcinogen. It forms formaldehyde inside the body, and there are safer alternatives to paint strippers than using this heavy industrial chlorinated chemical called methylene chloride. So avoid DCM. Yeah,
more to come on that with stripper. Good. More to come with that with Dr. Gary Ginsberg when he checks in again next week. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening. Stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour de Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour de Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike, and we have a special treat for you now, don't we, Bridget?
A very, very special treat.
And that's our own Dr. Deb Wanzer back again. And she's talking about flushing. What are you going to flush down the toilet?
Yes, I am talking about flushing, not in the style of New York, but in the style of toilets, and in a way that's not potty-mouthed, but is about the potty. So I appreciate you having me on, young Dr. Mike. It's been a long time since I've chatted with you.
Our loss. So this is a book about teaching kids to have a party about potty training. The book is called The Flushville 4, F-O-U-R, Flushville, F-L-U-S-H-V-I-L-L-E. I never thought of potty training as a party. Tell me what you mean by that.
So my idea with this book was that potty training is stressful biologically for kids, but it's incredibly stressful for parents. So if I can teach kids through a children's story with cute characters that they can relate to, that potty training is just another part of the day, like eating or playing or anything else that you do, then the kids will have less stress going into it psychologically, and the parents can relax and do it as if it, you know, just like teaching a kid to walk or anything else. You know, it's going to happen. There are normal steps that you should take. I give parents some tips in the beginning of the book, but then really it just takes off from there, and the little characters that live in Flushville go through their days, and they learn not only about potty training and some things that can go wrong with potty training, but we throw in some themes of nutritious meals and eating with the family and playing outside and not watching video games. And so it really ties in all of the messages that I would love parents to get at to help them more seamlessly and happily parent their kids.
Now, when should, let's talk about this. I remember someplace around age two being potty trained. When is the average kid potty trained, and was I precocious or not precocious?
He has that good of a memory.
Dr. Mike, you are precocious in all things, but you're right. Two is the average age for potty training. For some reason, boys tend to be a little later than girls, and kids can start as early as 15 to 18 months. But the keys are to think about the skills you need to use the potty and then figure out when they occur developmentally. So you can understand language, use language, you can tell the difference between wet and dry and care about the difference between wet and dry, and you have the motor skills to do things like kick, throw, climb, that kind of stuff. And so if you see your child being precocious, as I'm sure you were, and having those skills at 13 or 14 months, you don't have to hold a child back until 2 years. You just don't ever want to push them. So go out and buy a potty chair or a potty seat or whatever you want to use. Make it available. Show them how it works. Show them what your dogs or other pets do. Make it a part of the day, but don't push them into it. And chances are they'll want to be just like you, and they'll go ahead and start using it when they have the skill set to do that.
Now, I remember there were little potties or practice potties. Are they still? This shows you how, as you know, my wife is a pediatrician, but our kids are, and we don't have grandkids yet, but our kids are in their 30s, in their early 30s, so I haven't seen potty training for about 30 years firsthand. Do they still have those little potty chairs, the plastic ones?
They do. I was going to say the ones that you used may have been made out of stone or wood, but now they're plastic. And yes, you know, actually very little has changed in the equipment. So they still make little chairs that you can you can set on the floor and use that way, or they make the little seats that you can set on top of the toilet and you need a little step to walk up to. And the trick with that is basically it doesn't matter which one you want to use, make a decision, but then if they're at home, at daycare, at grandma and grandpa's or whatever, you should have the same sort of seat at all of those locations so they get used to it. So, you know, if you can have three potty chairs, let the kid decorate them and make them their own, and then have one at grandma and grandpa's, one at home, one at daycare, then they're going to feel like they are using the same thing and it's not going to be confusing to them. Some people like to use the little self-contained ones that you set on the floor because you don't have to flush the toilet, and that noise is sometimes scary for kids. My six-year-old, actually, I remember the first time he walked into one of those auto-flush toilets, and when it flushed while he was standing in there, he screamed and tried to break out of the door. He thought that he was going to get swallowed up by the toilet. So, you know, we think it's kind of funny, and I have to admit I did laugh at him when that happened. He didn't appreciate it. But that's actually a scary noise for kids. So that's one of the things that you can do a little example of before they start sitting on it.
And now, you talked to us about it being natural sometime between 13 and 14 months. When does it become, I've got to do it? In other words, I know of some moms who really get panicked if the kid hasn't done it by 3 years of age. Is if it's that late, is it abnormal? Is it too late? What do you do? How do you accelerate it if it's 2.5 years? Do you worry about accelerating it? Tell us all those kind of questions.
Yeah, so from a timing standpoint, if you have a child who is able to ride a tricycle, throw a ball, feed themselves, and speak in 2 to 3 word sentences, and has the ability to say to you no, and then go sit in the corner and pee or poop in their pants and take them off and walk away and go play, you have a child that is rebelling against you and rebelling against the control that you're trying to exert over them as they see it. So there's no age that's too late, particularly if you're not a completely developmentally normal child, but most kids can be potty trained by 3 if they're developmentally normal, and that's for both peeing and pooping. So let's take peeing. So boys and girls, it's generally easiest. Start potty training 18 to 24 months and have them sit down on the potty. Don't try to have a boy stand to pee. He may do that when he gets older because everyone else does, but that's using more motor skills than he should have to exert, and it's easier for him to learn sitting down. So have them start using the potty to pee. Just, you know, go sit there 3 times a day, 4 times a day for 5 or 10 minutes and see what happens. And then if they wake up dry after a nap, awesome opportunity. Run them in the bathroom because you know they're probably, you know, ready to let loose. Pooping is actually a little more complex, but not that much more complex, except for parents who have to, you know, figure out what to do afterwards. But the kids should be able to do it at about the same time. So once you have peeing pretty well down pat, you can move on to pooping within a couple weeks, and it can take, you know, maybe 2 to 6 months to complete the entire process. So if you have, again, if you have a 3-year-old who's peeing but not pooping, that child can do both, should do both, and you should make it in his or her best interest to do both. So if,
well, you know, when we come back, I'm going to talk more about the characters in Flushville 4, Flushville 4. You can go to the website, it's Deb Lonzer, M-D, D-E-B-L-O-N-Z-E-R, MD.com, and order Flushville 4. I think it's pretty darn inexpensive. We're going to find that out from Dr. Deb when we come back. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. You can write us questions. You can ask questions to Dr. Deb anytime at udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, at gmail.com. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of 2. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance. And that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to greatstartgtl.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at greatstartgtl.com. That's greatstartgtl.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to greatstartgtl.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
This is Dr. Mike. You're listening to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well. We're going to talk in a few seconds with Dr. Deb Wanzer. Her website, DEBLONZERMD.com, where you can find the book we're talking about, Flushville 4. But there's a lot more on that website, too, in the news, whole bunch of other stuff about Deb, but a lot about your kids and the latest medical news. But before I do that, I should say that I was at a funeral this morning, and it was probably the most beautiful funeral I'd ever been out. It was celebrating the life of the person who ran our integrative medicine center. She had the gene for ovarian and breast cancer, like her sisters, and her younger sister also passed on. But Tanya Edwards made everyone better who she touched, made everyone family. And it was a remarkable tribute to her. The Integrative Medicine Center at the Cleveland Clinic is now named the Tanya I. Edwards Center for Integrative Medicine. And it was just a wonderful sight. There is a benefit for the Integrative Medicine Center for naming it for her at the MoCA, the Museum of Contemporary Art, in University Circle this evening, 8 p.m. till 1 a.m., I think it is. So that's where I'll be going after this show, and I know that dates the time. The other thing I want to say is I came back for this from seeing the Downtown Project in Las Vegas, and Bridget was showing me her shoes in the interruption. Guys never show another guy their shoes, but women are into shoes, and Zappos is what he developed, sold to Amazon, and he's taken literally $350 million to invest it in redeveloping a 60-acre area of downtown Las Vegas that was in ruins, but it's a really interesting project that Tony Shea is doing. We will have him on in several weeks to talk about this project and how it's going. It's really quite remarkable. It's in year two of a five-year project, and it was really remarkable. And he is doing the reverse of flushing stuff down the toilet. He's rejuvenating it. So flushing, though, the Flushville 4 is what we're talking to Deb Lonser about today. And Deb, now there's negative reinforcement and positive reinforcement. I know when a dog pees or does something else in the wrong place, you use negative reinforcement. I don't know, is that as good as positive reinforcement? And what are the two for teaching kids potty training?
So positive reinforcement works better than negative reinforcement for kids, especially as they get older and they want to have more control over themselves. So what you want to do is say, you know, if you use the potty, I will give you this. And I used pirate coins. So I had Canadian money, and I said, hey, if you use the potty, I'll give you a pirate coin. And my six-year-old boy loved that. And so you find a small positive reinforcement like that. Negative reinforcement should never be punishment. But what it is you make the child's life a little less exciting if they don't do what they're expected to do. So if you don't use the potty, you cannot use the iPad. You cannot go to the park. You cannot ride your bike, whatever it is, so that you're not actually punishing them. You're just saying, hey, if you want to play the game with my rules, I'll let you have as much fun as you want to have. But if you don't, then you're going to have a little less fun. So that's how that works for kids.
Now, give us an example of positive reinforcement and what you would use it for with potty training, and then give us an example of negative reinforcement, and would you ever go to that?
I always tell people, kids don't need a pony, so you don't have to say, if you use the potty, I'll buy you a pony, I'll get you a Corvette when you're 16. They don't need anything big. They need something that's immediate and something that they understand. So find a favorite color, a favorite sticker, a favorite character, something shiny, whatever it is that floats their boat. You can fill a jar with marbles every time they use the potty, and they can trade that jar in for their favorite toy or whatever. And then negative reinforcement, again, I can't say often enough. Discipline is awesome for kids. Punishment tends to not work as well, although it sometimes is necessary. So negative reinforcement is generally taking away something that they enjoy. It's not corporal punishment. It's not screaming and yelling. Unlike a dog, you should never slap a kid in the head with a newspaper. But you can say, you know, you decided not to.
Well, many should say you never do it with a dog either.
Yes, that's true. You shouldn't. I always feel bad when I see that. So negative reinforcement, generally just remove something that they enjoy. So Flushville 4 will go through all of that. Go ahead.
And now you can get Flushville 4 on your website. Deb, DebLonzerMD.com. I would urge you to do it. It's a great gift for grandkids' parents, as well as, I guess that's for your kids, but as soon as they have grandkids, it's a wonderful gift. There are four characters. I'm dying to find out what they are, but I don't have time because we're going to say thank you to Dr. Deb and go to the Real Age Tip of the Week. And this Real Age Tip of the Week comes from Megan in Hanover, Massachusetts, because she asked a question that we got on the UDOCS line. You can always email us at UDOCS, UDOCS, @gmail.com. I use a neti pot to relieve my sinus problems and love it, but I just heard about people who've died from neti pot-caused infections. Is this true? Should I stop using mine? Well, Megan, Mehmet Oz and I have recommended neti pots more often than Regis used to be on TV. Mm-hmm. Neti pots, they look like a genie's lap, are used to pour a mild saltwater solution up alternating nostrils, which flushes out the other side, gunk and all. You can see it on YouTube. We did that on the Oprah Show. Sinus sufferers, like you, often say they breathe clearly for the first time in years. Turns out the deaths were due to neti pot misuse. Number one way to avoid misuse, make sure to use distilled water in pre-made saline solution packs. They're very inexpensive. I think I bought 50 of them for under $2 at a Walgreens or Walmart. Make sure to use distilled water in pre-made saline packets. Or as long as you use tap water, it's got to be chlorinated. It should be fine. The vital message here is use all medical devices as directed, even the simplest. And that's the Real Age Tip of the Week. I want to thank our guests, especially Dr. Deb Lonzer. It's DebLonzerMD.com. And of course, Jordan Meltz, who talked about exercise. And that's JordanMeltz.com for exercise cure. And especially Sonar for great engineering, Bridget and Joe, and of course, Gary Ginsburg. Remember, stay well. This is Dr. Mike on Radio MD. Definitely stay well this week.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s, but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's OMEGA, TakeOmega.com.